Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast. This is episode number 46, and I am David Langiuli.
And I am Michelle Malloy-Dillon.
And I'm Janice Cunning.
So welcome, welcome, welcome. I am aware, Janice, that you're in the process, actually, of creating a blog post that you've entitled "Leaders Listen Before They Speak." Mm-hmm. So what's on your mind about this?
Yeah, it just made me realize, too, we're going to speak and listen to each other before I write.
Exactly. Well, we'll ask a few questions and see if the blog post comes forward.
Yeah, it's when I was thinking about this topic, it reminded me. So like in the mid-2000s, I had a chance to sit on the APRA board, which really was like an experience where I learned a lot about leadership, both by leading and by watching the leaders of, you know, different committees and the leaders of the organization as a whole. And one thing that I was thinking about was I remember like one person very specifically, like I loved her style of running committees, because she would like she would really encourage everyone to speak and make sure like all the voices were heard. You know, sometimes like some people say more in those kind of situations than others, but there was a
I have no idea who you're referring to.
Yeah, so, you know, not that's not a bad thing, right? We need people to speak. But there's also, like, I've noticed in the past, and I'm sure you two have too, like, there can sometimes be a dynamic with leaders where they come in, like, really strong with their opinion, and then if you have a different opinion, it feels sort of like, oh, now I feel like I'm disagreeing, or which isn't bad, but it's just like there is this kind of dynamic where I think then some people it doesn't create enough space, or they just haven't formed their own opinion yet.
Yeah, that's what was coming up for me, Janice. It's like the quieter people in the room might sort of be thinking, well, I guess that's a good enough idea. I don't know what else to do.
Yes, yeah. So that's kind of what it was like making me think about was like how to sort of cultivate as a leader, like a more dynamic conversation, more voices, more ideas, more perspectives, more opinions. Mm-hmm. And then also kind of this paradox of, but leaders have to have opinions because they're setting the vision, you know, and they want people to follow them. So it's like, how do we kind of hold both of these ideas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what's the awareness that needs to be around creating that kind of space, or what kind of, you know, what's the right amount of space versus the right amount of opinion and upfront leadership that a leader has to offer? Like, mm-hmm. what is that balance? And I think it's always changing. It's always shifting and changing. And for a leader to have that awareness of maybe it's time for me to step back a little bit and see what other people are thinking in the room as a way to generate new ideas, new thoughts, and create a little space for those that sort of process things a little bit slower to catch up and to be able to create ideas as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I think curiosity helps. I also think that before we got on the podcast, I mentioned something that Pat Lencioni in his work with teams refers to as, you know, leaders mine for the conflict, like using a mining metaphor. So I think in that context, it can be helpful to put an opinion in the space and invite people, like creating a safe space where you invite people, authentically invite people to tear it down. Mm-hmm. And that's, I'm using some aggressive language there, but sometimes that's what's needed, is like to have a space where you're willing to put forward an opinion and be willing to have it completely torn apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, because we, you know, like from our leadership program, it's kind of this idea, it's like leaders have opinions, but they're not attached to them, because when you put it out into the room, then you get feedback.
Right.
You know? And then you have to be like willing to be sort of agile and flexible. Mm-hmm. So I think I love what we're all kind of talking about, because it's like there's no magic answer, right?
Mm-hmm.
it's like sometimes you need to put an opinion out and, you know, kind of jar things a little bit to get more ideas. Sometimes you need to open up space so other people can kind of feel safe to come in or just have time to process what they're thinking about the issue and come in. And, you know, you have to kind of navigate that by feeling what's happening in each situation. You know, there's no right answer here. There never is in leadership.
Well, I think the main thing here is be curious as a leader, like try both of these things, see what the impact is, see how it shifts the conversation, see what new ideas emerge, you know, in the meeting that may not have emerged in the past by either coming into it, as David mentioned, like, this is my idea, now push back on me, see, you know, I want to hear the feedback, I want to hear the opposite viewpoints, let's come at it from this way, or going into a space and saying, here's our topic. Like, what do you guys think about this? Start giving me some ideas.
There's a couple of other things that I did in leading teams that might be helpful. Which one way is to actually shift who runs meetings, like actually rotate through, and then so if you're the quote unquote leader of the team or the highest ranking person in the room, when you shift it around, then when you're not actually running the meeting, you can listen more. Which is kind of, I know in my case, you know, I can be a real driver, you know, I'll drive to the task, I'll drive the agenda and so forth. And when I didn't have to do that, it was great. Just sit back, listen, see what emerges. You know, that's a good another way.
Yeah, and I think I love that, David, because it also speaks, which I think we're all speaking to. It's like we all have a default, and not that it's bad, but like there are times to like stretch yourself and play. Like, oh, like what would it be like if I was in this other role? Like if I'm the type of person who doesn't actually come in and give enough opinion and mine for enough conflict as a leader, I need to turn the volume up on that. And if I'm a leader who, you know, sort of does come in too much and isn't creating enough space for other people to have opinions, then I need to kind of pull back. And that's like always shifting.
Yeah. Well, what's nice about doing the rotation is if you, I'll reference the DISC again, you know, for folks who, we talk about DISC a lot, you could be talking about SDI also. But if you tend to be more analytical, or you, which would be like a C on the DISC, or you tend to be more driven by people and harmony, when you rotate the positions and you actually have to run the meeting, you have to come in more, like by default. So, it's just bringing back memories for me. It's kind of fun to actually see. And as the leader of the team, you get to see people shine then. Really fun, actually.
Yeah. And it can keep things fresh. You know, if everyone comes into a meeting all the time and they play the same role every time, there tends to be that sort of lazy energy that begins to sort of arrive on a regular basis. Like, okay, here we go. This is what we're going to do.
It's the weekly staff meeting.
That's right. Let's shake things up a little bit. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, and as a, in my past career as a photographer, I was a witness to a lot of these types of events. I was the fly on the wall, right? Mm-hmm. And to be aware of the people who were sort of checking out, like rolling their eyes internally at the leader, like here they go. Okay, here we go. There's such an opportunity for a leader to be able to shake things up a little bit and step back and ask for other opinions, or like David's mentioning, have somebody different lead the meeting in that instance. It kind of wakes everybody up for a little bit and challenges everybody, including the leader, to stretch into an area that they don't normally, a role that they don't normally play.
Yeah.
And so there can be a lot of growth for everybody in the room that way.
Yeah, I think it's, one of the things that we talk about a lot is like there's like five different ways to lead, right? And one of them is to be the leader in front, you know, but that's only one of the ways. And one of the things that is really powerful about that is sometimes when you're leading in front, which is that you're setting a vision and you are the one, you know, sort of driving and saying like, come with me, and encouraging your followers to join you. But then sometimes you have to say, okay, actually it's time for me to sit down and take a different role. So maybe I'm going to lead from behind for a little bit. And I used to work for somebody who, like, she excelled at this, you know, like she would see that somebody on the team, like, really had a capacity or a passion for taking on something, and she would step down and say, okay, that's yours. And we always knew she was there for us, but it was really empowering. And so I think, like, David, that's a very practical way that you're giving of sort of saying, like, you know, like, sit down, like, don't sit at the head of the table and be driving the meeting. Actually, just go sit in the circle, you know, and let somebody else take that key seat. So, yeah, I really love that. There's a lot in here to think about.
Yeah, I think when you do have, I can't emphasize this strongly enough, is to create space for dissent, for wild ideas, to create space for conflict, actually, to allow people to challenge you when you have an opinion. That's where the listening comes in. So I think it's important that people share, and that you create space for to allow others to come in with dissenting opinions. Yeah.
Yeah.
Important.
And dissenting opinions doesn't always have to feel like you're using the word conflict. And what comes up for me with that is it doesn't always have to feel like conflict. It can feel like we're just hashing out different ideas. And sometimes it can feel like conflict, especially if it's against the grain of the leader, or, you know, that you've never created space before for other people to give you dissenting opinions. So,
well, for you and Michelle, often, like, we'll say something might feel like conflict for us. It won't feel like conflict for David.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Yeah, it's true.
True.
Yeah.
But I will say, like, that in 30 years or so of organizational life, I saw lots of meetings where, you know, decisions were being made or opinions were being put in the space, and folks were afraid to come in and disagree.
Yeah.
You know, so I just think it's super important to have, we could call it vigorous debate, I guess.
Yeah.
And then, choose.
Yeah. Yeah. It's healthy conflict, right? It's like conflict around ideas, as opposed to, like, conflict only becomes unhealthy when it's personalized, you know?
And it starts with listening. Yeah, for sure.
So let's get people something to try.
Well, what do you want to give them to try, Janice?
Yeah, I think it's, for the first thing that comes to me is, like, notice your default, right? Mm-hmm. So we've been talking about, like, space, like, how much space is there for other voices to come in? So is your default to not create enough space? Or is it maybe actually that your voice is more needed, like your opinion as the leader is more needed, and you need to be creating something a little bit more provocative? So, you know, I would say, think about what that is. Maybe get some feedback from other people about that if you're not sure. And then consciously choose to like, sit in a different seat, let's say. Consciously choose to sit in a different seat.
Yeah, I like what you're saying. In other words, if you normally sit back, then lean in. And if you normally lean in, then sit back.
Or go sit at another chair, actually.
Exactly. And I'll add to that, if you lead a team and you're always the one running the meeting, have some of your other folks run the meeting. Yeah, so we're giving folks a few things to try.
Yes.
Or if you're, in the case of Michelle, literally sit in the back of the room and take pictures.
Yeah. Yeah, literally just be the fly on the wall and see what you begin to pick up that's unspoken in the room. That's right.
That's even another way.
Yes.
So it there's is. Three things to try, folks.
Exactly. I love it.
All right. Well, thanks, Janice. I hope our discussion was helpful for you today as you start to write your article for our readers. Who, of course, you can go to fundraisingleadership.org and see and read Janice's blog post. You'll be able to find the podcast there. And we encourage you to subscribe. You can find the Fundraising Leadership podcast now on Google Play, on iTunes, and Spotify. So with that, we will invite you to go put it into practice.